What are the core concepts of patient and family-centered care? The material in this slide comes from a PBS series called Remaking American Medicine, which is a four-part television series for PBS that follows pioneering individuals working to change our healthcare system for the better in the United States. The reference for Remaking American Medicine, the PBS series, is reflected here on the slide. This should be viewed not only as a reference for the material, but also as a link for you to access this series and some interesting other material that's housed on this site. The four notions of patient and family-centered care that are presented in this series echo the concepts that we just articulated in the prior slide. So that first concept is dignity and respect. So patient-centered care responds to patients' needs, wants, and preferences, and takes into account the cultural and traditional aspects that are important to the patient and their family. It calls for treatment of the patient as an individual. This thereby requires customization of the plan of care and encourages the patient to learn more about their condition so that they are better prepared to take an active role in medical decision making. Information sharing, the second aspect of patient-centered care highlighted on this particular resource, speaks directly to the way in which we help to create and foster the development of the informed and knowledgeable patient and family. Patients and their caregivers want to know what the condition is that they have, what the prognosis is, what it means for them and their family, how they're going to live with the disease, and what are the consequences of failure to take care of themselves. They want to understand what the treatment is, how much it's going to cost, and what the side effects are. Of course, all of this needs to be in a language they understand. They need answers that are accurate and able to be understood. So this brings to mind some of the work of the National Library of Medicine and their attention to something called the quote-unquote information prescription, where patients are actually prescribed an intervention that requires that they access information that makes them a smarter patient and a smarter consumer of healthcare services. So now this is where the open access to knowledge, which really was once restricted to physicians, their charts, or locked up in a medical library somewhere, this is where this can really be used to support patient-centered care. Remember that. And remember this not only as an HIT practitioner, but for yourself, your family, and your friends. Knowing is one of the most powerful tools that a patient and their family has, and we know it contributes to better outcomes and more efficient care. The third concept, participation, goes hand in hand with the prior two concepts. Patients and family must be, quote, encouraged and supported in participating in care and decision making at the level they choose. That is a quote taken directly from the PBS site. Collaboration is the final concept, and it's interesting that this concept includes shared decision making at the policy and planning level as well. This aspect encourages the involvement of the patient, the family, and the caregivers in helping to plan not only the plans of care that will help a patient to achieve an optimal level of health, but also in the development of policies and physical aspects that help the patient to succeed. Including the patient and or family perspective in the way that care is provided or in a way that a unit is designed are examples. For instance, when I was a child, the idea of a parent rooming in with a sick child was absolutely unheard of. And I was in the hospital for a long time and was absolutely terrified when my mother would go home at night. I was lucky enough later in my life at one time to be involved in the design of a pediatric unit where we had several focus groups made up of patients and their parents. These were primarily those with chronic illnesses who spent considerable amounts of time in the hospital. And we relied upon them to help us design the unit that was more accommodating for them. So we quickly eliminated the lounge chairs that we expected exhausted parents to rest in. And you know what sort of lounge chairs I'm talking about, sort of like the kind you get on an airline or aircraft, unless you're in business class or first class, which I never get to go there. But, you know, they're not really what you would want to sleep in particularly. So we got rid of those. We quickly eliminated those and replaced them with these fold-out chairs that went completely flat and made a reasonably comfortable bed. Now, of course, we also have children who requested 24/7 clown service and ice cream around the clock, which we couldn't accommodate. However, we did find ways to schedule the occasional yet routine clown visit, and we moved to menus that children could actually select, within limitations, of course, what they'd like to have on their meal tray or at snack time. The point here is that the collaboration is vital to the achievement of true patient-centered care. Of course, this is all within reason. Now, what I'd like you to do is click on the picture of Dr. Don Berwick, who is the current director of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, also known as CMS. What you will hear is an audio recording of Dr. Berwick discussing what patient-centered care means to him. It's compelling. The audio file is approximately 3 minutes long. When you're done watching, listening to the audio, I'd like you just to continue on, click on to the next slide.